Welcome back to Breakthrough, Waking Up to the Real You. I am your host, Alejandro Vivanco. Thank you so much for joining me today on this midweek devotional. Remember to subscribe and share the podcast if you haven't already, and also make sure to follow me on Instagram at alevivanco29 for more. Today, we're going to continue with the book of Isaiah, and I know that the last couple of midweek devotional episodes have been a little bit of a doom and gloom, but we need that. So now Isaiah 25 is kind of balancing that out. So it says, praise to the Lord. Isaiah 25, 1. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. You have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin. The foreigner's stronghold, a city no more, it will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge to the for the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against a wall, and like the heat of the desert, you silence the uproar of foreigners, as heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud. So the song of the ruthless is stilled. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Beautiful, beautiful. Isaiah 25, praise to the Lord. When we talk about God, people always question this. Well, if they're suffering, you know, why does God allow it? We all have free will. Sin is a part of life. And people choose to do evil things, whether knowingly or unknowingly, whether they understand fully the consequences or not. It's us against us. And when we see people suffer, especially people who worship, we always ask, why would God allow this person who is worshiping and doing the right things to suffer? This is not a transactional relationship. If Jesus suffered so much for us, God was sending his only son to sacrifice him for us and for our salvation, why would we have an easy life? Why would we have a free suffering life? Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. But the name of the game, so to speak, is not about what happens on earth. It's about what happens after we die. But we are so focused on seeing things on earth and to see miracles and blessings that we deny ourselves the possibility of eternity with God. We don't understand eternity. We don't even think about that concept because we are all about the immediate now. How much money I can get, how happy I can be, how pleasurable my life can be, how many desires I can fulfill. When life is not about us, it's about God that uses us as a vessel for his purposes. But we have been lied to, we have been told that we should put ourselves and desires and pleasures first, always. And there's a balance. You have to always try to have a balance between putting yourself first to be the best version and putting God first before you so he can lead you to be that version of yourself. Without God, it's the self-worship of it all. I go to church. I pray every day, multiple times a day. I am creating this series, reading the Bible, and I still have a lot of things that I have to deal with, and I'm not upset at God. What I'm asking for Him is to be with me through the valleys so I can get through with it. When I cry with Him. When I'm angry, I talk to Him in anger, but never at Him. Because that is faith. I'm asking Him to please help me, whether that is for Him to guide me, to show me something that I'm doing wrong so I can fix the situation, or to bring me peace in my heart, and I will let Him handle whatever needs to be handled that's outside of my control. And I must have faith that that's going to happen. And whatever happens in my life, good or bad, that doesn't discourage me from going to church and participating in the Mass. Whether that's lecturing, whether that's being a Eucharistic minister, and helping. Because God comes first. And I know I don't understand. So I'm not going to get upset because I don't understand and I don't have the explanations I would love to have. Now I have to surrender. That is the point of surrendering. And if the devil wants to mess with me and bring some trouble in my life, and he thinks that I'm going to get away from God because things are not going my way, I turn around and my faith is stronger because of the valleys. I practice gratitude. I never turn my back on God because this is not a circumstantial thing. This is not a relationship where you have to give me something and then I'll give you something back. This is eternal. It's a forever thing. It's written. I will always love and serve God regardless of what happens in my life. And that's where I pull my joy from. And I serve and I pray harder when I'm in the valleys. Because when you go through things and you are aligned in the faith, you go closer and get closer with God. Because He's the only one who can really grasp the intensity of the situations. And He has your back. I know things are not going to come out how you want them to come out. But the promise is not that your life is going to be how you think it should be. The promise is heaven. That's where your sight is fixated. That's why Jesus says, follow me. He doesn't say, just follow your heart. He doesn't say, you don't have to have a cross. No, He says, pick up your cross and follow me. When things go wrong, when the cross is heavy, look at me. And I will acknowledge you in front of the Father. Because I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one gets to the Father except through me. So when you are tired of carrying your cross, you think about Jesus. You praise God for the valleys. Because they're not going to last forever. There are going to be many valleys, but they're not going to last forever. Instead of thinking how heavy the cross is and why me, you think about what Jesus went through for you. And you practice gratitude. This is the other side of the conversation. When people say you have to release your trauma, you have to do all these things, which is perfect. That's fine. That's what I talk about on Mondays. That series was done before I came to the faith. But this anchors you. This is what really makes it the whole thing. It's just complete. It's like a nice button at the end. But it should be your foundation because Jesus sacrificed and suffered for you. And for you to think that you can do it all on your own, it's cute. When you should be looking at Him, praising God. It is not easy, but there's nowhere in the contract of life where it says life is going to be so easy. It's not. Life is not easy, but it has to be purposeful. It needs to be purposeful. Success doesn't matter if you don't have a purpose anchored in God. Money doesn't matter if it's all about the money. Money is not God, and that's the culture today. To extend your beauty, to make sure that you are as young as you can forever, that has become God before God. God is number one. Everything else is number two. Deny yourself. That's what Jesus says. So we praise God because, period. Always, we praise God, period. No, I praise God because I got the job. No, period. Through the valleys, God is being praised. Through hell, God is being praised. Through joy, God is being praised. God is number one, everything else number two. If we don't live our lives that way, anything can become an idol. And you can see it clearly in the culture. People praise more other people for their talents than God. There is more energy and more involvement in other humans than in the church. This laissez-faire, blah-blah, vanilla-type, lukewarm Catholics is not going to cut it at the end. Churches cannot survive when people don't get involved. The church is where you show up for God and you help one another. But we don't have that mentality. We fall back and let other people handle it. We praise him by doing something for the church too. We praise him by example, by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we walk with him and we show up to every single place as God wants us to show up, not how you think you can handle something or you think you should show up as. God comes first in your life. And if he doesn't come first, whatever is first is your God. And I hope that money can buy you some salvation, which we already know it doesn't. I hope that cryptocurrency can buy you some salvation, which we already know it doesn't matter. When we begin to have this perspective, nothing matters but God. So are you praying? No, don't have time. I've asked these questions to people very close to me. Are you praying? No. You know, I don't have time, you know, work. Oh, okay, so God is not number one in your life. Anything else but God is number one in your life. So you have time for all this, but you don't have time for God. So God will not have time for you. If you don't allow God in, you don't give God space, how do you think he's going to act in your life? He deserves to be number one. Everything else is number two, and that takes faith. Because we believe that if we don't think about, worry about, and invest ourselves in things, then we're not going to have anything. And God is saying, hey, follow me, focus on me, and everything else will be taken care of. Oh, no, I don't know. That's faith. When you say yes to that request, when you say yes to him, and that's how you praise him, because you live it. You are the embodiment of faith. You know that he's with you, regardless of what's going on. We already talked about this, the Psalms, the book of Psalms. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Think about the bigger picture. And if you don't believe in that, hey, we all make choices in life, and we will see the consequences in the end. But always and forever, praise the Lord. Again, this is Breakthrough, waking up to the real you, and I'll see you next time. Bye.